It's Friday here on Locked On NBA, and on today's show, Chris Paul returns and the Suns look as dominant as ever. The Grizzlies will be without Ja Morant for another long stretch, and the race to avoid the play-in in the East gets interesting. A big night in the NBA with plenty of playoff ramifications. We'll break it all down next.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On NBA, your daily podcast on the NBA. However you may be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts, thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with Adam Matos. Today's episode is brought to you by NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot is the future of being an NBA fan. Own officially licensed rare NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. Sign up today at lockedon.nbatopshot.com. We got big injury update regarding Ja Morant, and we'll take a look at a few teams trying to avoid the play-in in the East in a bit. But let's start in Denver, Adam, where Chris Paul made his return to the Suns, and he picked up right where he left off, 17 points and 13 assists in 30 minutes. He helped the Suns get a big 140-130 win over the Denver Nuggets in what was really a fun game. But the story of the night was Devin Booker, who scored 49 points on the four-year anniversary of his 70-point game, and the Suns needed almost all of them. Both teams shot nearly 60% overall in a game with 15 lead changes. The Nuggets got big nights from Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, and Bones Highland. The Suns led by just one with just over 5 minutes left to go, but used a 17-8 run to take a 10-point lead with 2:38 left in the game and pulled away. Adam, that was a high-scoring game with a playoff feel to it.
No doubt about it. And I mean, that's what the Phoenix Suns do. When it gets to those final 5 minutes, they execute and they close it out, especially with Chris Paul there, although he wasn't in for the entirety of that segment. They even got with Cam Payne running the show there for a little bit, but he obviously has been at the helm for a while, so he has some reps at this. But you mentioned it, 140-130. The Suns, 60.5% from the field. The Nuggets, 59.3%. From the three-point line, the Suns, 48% from three. The Nuggets, 47%. Like, this was a game where just nobody missed. For the entire game, all four quarters, both teams just agreed, we're not going to miss shots tonight. And Devin Booker, a chief among all of them. You mentioned that this was the anniversary of his 70-point game. I think more importantly, I kept trying to figure out, the Suns have nothing to play for. They played in Minnesota last night, and they got a win. They came to Denver, and Chris Paul came back for this game, and all of their key players played. And I'm sitting here thinking, why would you risk that on this night? But I think there was a reason for it, and we saw it in the look that Devin Booker had in his eye. If you noticed, he went to Twitter over the last week saying, why am I not in the MVP conversation? Mm-hmm. Certain players, and I think he's very clearly talking about Nikola Jokic, they changed the criteria for them when, you know, to make it fit their narrative. I think tonight was one of those games he wanted to come out and make a statement like, if you're going to vote for Jokic the MVP, you got to consider me for MVP and make a little statement there.
Yeah, I mean, we could throw him in the MVP conversation. He's not going to win it, but if he wants to be part of the conversation, yeah, you know what, Devin Booker, we're having the conversation. You're in it now. You're not going to win it, but you're in the conversation. I love what Phoenix is doing because obviously the MVP thing is a storyline right now. A little bit late in the game, Devin Booker, just from like a brand, like, might want to talk to your marketing manager. Like, you should have done this like 2 months ago.
Well, I will say nine games left. Part of what's impressive about Devin Booker over this last 2 years, in my opinion, you know, he had before these last two seasons, he had the rap of maybe he's a good stats, bad team guy. And I think one of the things that's underrated about him is, and about this entire Phoenix Suns team, is that they so perfectly fit within a system. Nobody's thirsty for shots. Nobody's gunning for shots, and everybody eats. Tonight, maybe he was gunning for, I mean, I think he was making a point, but he goes 16 of 25 from the field. He was absolutely fantastic, super efficient. But I think that
10 assists too.
Then 10 assists. I think you could probably make the case very easily that Devin Booker probably could average more points than he does, but he's traded that for winning. Now, sometimes when you make a trade or a sacrifice like that, in order for it to be a sacrifice, you don't get the accolades. And that's, I'm sure he would rather have the championship than the MVP. But tonight, he wanted to make a statement, and I have to tip my hat to him. He made a statement. He was absolutely fantastic tonight.
I wonder if this is maybe the beginning, if this is just a run of statements that he's trying to make here. If he doesn't win MVP, it could be the best thing for Phoenix, right? Because he's going to maybe get into the playoffs, because the Suns are one of those teams, right? They're like, hey, great ensemble, really high-level players. We don't doubt Chris Paul's greatness. Monty Williams is probably going to win Coach of the Year, all this stuff. Great team. But they don't really have the star the way that the Nuggets right. have Jokic or the, you know, all the Giannis and the Bucks and all these teams. Maybe Devin Booker puts himself in that conversation in the playoffs. Maybe we're seeing maybe the very bubbling beginnings of something like that. He's awesome. I love what the Phoenix Suns are doing when you've got the Sixers over here resting James Harden and Joel Embiid on every second night of back-to-back. You've got right. across the league, and the Suns are just like, you know what? We're running away with the best record in the NBA. It doesn't – we can lose every other game. It doesn't matter.
They secured it. Number one yes. seed throughout the entire playoffs now, locked up.
Yeah, so maybe I'm talking too prematurely. Maybe they're like, all right, we got locked up. We'll just rest everybody. But I think there's something to be said about, like, you know what? We want to carry this momentum that we've had all season long. They even bring Chris Paul back when we didn't right. think that that might happen. It sounded like it was a little bit sooner than most people expected. So I love what they're doing. And I think they're the most dominant team in the NBA. They showed it tonight. Even though I was really impressed with what the Nuggets were able to do, I'd like to talk about them for a little bit. But Phoenix is just – you can't like bother them, right? Like this was a tight game with a playoff feel and it was physical. And they were just like, you know what? We're going to win by 10 anyway.
Right. They're very confident. I mean, it almost had a sense of inevitability. I put on Twitter, I thought this was probably, this might've been a top five game for the Nuggets all year. Like it's funny to say they lost at home on a team against the back-to-back by 10 points. And I look at it and I go, man, that was, I don't know. They played 5, 6, 7 games better than what they did tonight. They executed pretty well. They had turnovers. That was the one issue, but they shot well. Lots of guys stepped up, including Bones Highland, who I think is creeping into the conversation for making an all-rookie team. If you look at what he's doing, I believe he now leads all rookies in three-point makes. He's shooting somewhere around 48.5% or 38.5% on volume three-point attempts this year. And he's really – a lot of your rookies are on bad teams. They're playing a lot of minutes. Bones Highland has been tasked with being on a team that all year has been right on the cusp of playoffs or play-in. So it's been pressure minutes. He's had to fight and work his way into the rotation. He's firmly there. And on some nights, including nights like tonight, he's one of the two or three best players on the Nuggets roster. So he's, to me, I think that there's people are starting to get to him. Maybe it's too late, but I would not be surprised if he wound up on an all-rookie team this year as one of the 10 best rookies. That's how impressive he's been over the last 2 months.
He's kind of, obviously he's in his rookie year, but then you look at like what Jordan Poole is doing for Golden State in year three, what Tyler Hero is doing for Miami in year three. And I feel like Bones Highland is just right there starting his career in the NBA with good teams, with a rational confidence and, but he's going to fit in and it's almost going to give, I think the way that those like Jordan Poole and Tyler Hero give those egalitarian offenses a little bit of a do-it-yourself flair. You could see maybe Bones doing that too. My other Bones Highland take is that Bones is an awesome nickname and we know that. I don't think enough attention is given to just how awesome his full name is. Like Highland is also an all-time really good last name in the NBA. So much you could do with that, but we don't even talk about how awesome his last name is because Bones is what he goes by. Just you can't fail with that.
You really can. And he's got the personality and swagger, by the way, to match it up. I mean, you know, he's in Denver and he was a 26th pick. So I think it's a little slow of people coming around. But this guy's just a great, great personality. Yeah. He's got incredible vision. I mean, he was kind of labeled as a shooting guard. Maybe I heard like Lou Williams, you know, or Jamal Crawford, the sixth, always going to try to score lots of moves. He's really got great feel for the game, great vision, great passing. And he's a lot more of a point guard than I expected on top of being this dynamic scorer. Tonight he goes 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. As I mentioned, he just set a Denver Nuggets record tonight. He did a Denver Nuggets record for most 3-pointers made in a season by a rookie, surpassing Jamal Murray's record, which is pretty phenomenal when you consider he came off the bench all year. So really exciting player, 23 points tonight. He's going to be an exciting, probably a guy you're going to hear about a lot going forward.
Well, I'm glad I got him on my fantasy dynasty league. You and I are we're good. You and I are on the Bones wagon. It's official. Just overall, zoom out, Denver Nuggets. I know they lost tonight against a just behemoth Phoenix Suns team. Yeah. But I was super impressed with them. I continue to be impressed with them. When you have Jokic, they've lost games that they shouldn't have lost this year for sure. But I also feel like they can rise up to the competition. I'm not picking them to come out of the West. I'm picking them to just be like maybe the noisiest team in the West, if that makes sense. Like I wouldn't be comfortable if I was any team playing Denver, right? And I know we're going to talk about this later on about they could have some guys coming back and stuff. But right now they're in the 3-6 matchup with the Warriors. They've got their own stuff that they're trying to figure out too right now, mostly health things. Right. Like it wouldn't shock me if Denver beat Golden State in the first round.
Here's the story of the season, Wes. You mentioned they lost some games they shouldn't. They've won some games they shouldn't. I mean, Denver has some really nice wins under their belt, and they have some bad losses, like I think most teams. The thing with Denver this year is all year you've been thinking, just hold it together long enough for Jamal Murray to come back and Michael Porter to come back. Just hold it together. And here we are, 8 games from the end of the from the finish line, and it kind of feels like neither guy is coming back. And I think that's such a I don't know, but I have to imagine that is wearing on the team a little bit, this idea of, hey, reinforcements are on the way, and here we are, and reinforcements are not do not appear to be on the way.
Well, speaking of injuries, Ja Morant will miss the next 2 weeks with a knee injury. We'll talk about how this impacts the Grizzlies' hold on the number 2 seed in the West next. But first, let's talk about our friends at Bet Online. It's that time of year again as college basketball's tournament is finally upon us, and we're in the Elite Eight now, Adam, or we're about to be after this weekend's games. And from all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sport wagering information needs and live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. So head to the website today or use your mobile web device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go to Memphis. The Grizzlies wiped away the Pacers, beating them 133-103 without Ja Morant, who missed his third straight game with a right knee injury. Desmond Bane had 30 points. Jaren Jackson Jr. added 20. But the story from this one is that before the game, Grizzlies coach Taylor Jenkins announced that Morant will miss the next 2 weeks, so effectively the rest of the regular season, with a knee injury. Adam, what does this mean for the Grizzlies?
I mean, it means a lot because this is a team that's been one of the best stories, if not the best story in basketball, just a surprise team. They are 2 games ahead of Golden State for that 2 seed, and I think they're going to wind up in the 2 seed, although this injury maybe can complicate things. We'll have to just wait and see how it plays out. But it hurts because Memphis being a 2 seed, there's no bad teams in the West. I mean, they might face the Minnesota Timberwolves, maybe the Denver Nuggets, maybe the Los Angeles Clippers, really well coached. So they might match up with one of those teams. And you look at that and you think, are you going to have to integrate Ja Morant after being out for a couple weeks back into the rotation? Is there a little bit of a bumpy road when he does come back, even if it's just a game or two, when it's the playoffs? If you have one game, you give up one game at home, all of a sudden the entire series flips. So to me, it's unfortunate. It is a bit of a big deal. But as we saw tonight, and as we've seen actually, I think 15 times or something like that this season, even without Ja Morant, this Memphis Grizzlies team is damn good.
I mean, they won tonight. They improved to 16-2 without Ja Morant this season. So yeah, they can win. Desmond Bane putting up 30 points, you know, like
impressive part of his stat. Did you see this? Desmond Bane tonight in 24 minutes, plus 40.
That's incredible.
Plus 40 in 24 minutes. That's insane.
I feel like that says more about the Pacers than it does about Desmond Bane, but it is insane. The one thing about the Grizzlies, you mentioned they have a 2-game lead for the number 2 seed, 2.5 maybe. They have the toughest schedule remaining. 8 games left. One of them is against Phoenix. One is against Golden State. That one could be very important. One is against Milwaukee, another against Boston, Utah, and Denver. This is a tough stretch coming up. Like, their easiest games are against the Pelicans and the Spurs, and those aren't like walks through the park either. Those are teams like right on the cusp of the play-in, and in the Pelicans' case, in the play-in. So I don't know. This could be a little tough. I think the best thing going for the Grizzlies right now is that the Warriors are sort of dealing with their own injuries and that Steph is out too. So I think they'll end up staying at number 2. I'm willing to bet on Memphis against the field, even despite the schedule, but it is tough. But
Golden State's got Atlanta coming up and at Washington, at Memphis. So a little road trip there. It culminates, by the way, they play Memphis. Golden State will be on the second night of a back-to-back. So that huge swing game, it could all come down to that. And again, Golden State will be on the second night. Then they come home and play Phoenix, Utah. So they don't have exactly a cakewalk schedule either. And I have to imagine with the last 1,015 days, whatever it's been, that the Warriors have had since Klay Thompson first went down, I have to imagine that the Warriors are maybe less motivated to gun for a two seed. I think they still obviously want it, but maybe less motivated to do that and more concerned about let's get ourselves healthy, rested, and ready for this, what should be a very long playoff run for them.
Steve Kerr basically said that the other night in Miami when he was down here, and he said a reporter asked him, you know, how do you balance, you know, basically gunning for a higher seed and health? And he says there is no balance. Health is the priority, period.
Yeah.
Let's head to Toronto, where the Raptors topped the Cavaliers 117-104 to tighten the race for the sixth seed in the East. Pascal Siakam matched his season high with 35 points, and he did it on a tidy 12 of 20 shooting and 6 of 7 from three-point range. OG Anunoby also made his return to the Raptors after missing 15 games with a fractured right finger. He finished with 14 points. The Raptors have now won 7 of their last 10, and they've tied the Cavs, who have a losing record since the All-Star break, with a 41-32 record. I'll note here that because Cleveland had won the three previous meetings with the Raptors this season, that the Cavs hold the tiebreaker over Toronto despite tonight's loss, and they retain possession of the number six seed right now despite the teams being tied in record. So that's also the right to avoid the play-in tournament. That's the key here for now, right? The Cavaliers have that for now.
And here's the thing. This is the same for Denver, same for Minnesota. Like, there's some really good stories in the NBA of teams that have already come together, and Cleveland's one of them, right? They've been, they were in the top three in the East for most of the year. They're on a little bit of a slide here, and they might go to a play-in. And by the way, if you do fall to the play-in, congratulations. You got to play Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving in the first play-in game. And if you lose that one, maybe you got Trae Young or maybe LaMelo Ball. So it's entirely possible that this Cinderella season for Cleveland could end up being a nightmare finish that completely almost invalidates it in some ways, the run that they've been on. Toronto, though, getting back to them, Toronto reminds me a little bit of the Celtics light. I mean, the Celtics and Suns right now, to me, over the last 2 months, they're the two teams that you look at and you say, those teams are polished, they're ready. They are ready to play the type of playoff basketball where you need to have great execution, focus, intensity. They do all those things. Toronto is not quite that level because they don't have the talent. But what they've done lately against Philadelphia, against Denver, against Minnesota, they just are a really good team that knows who they are. They know their identity. They use their length really well. And they're starting to play their most impressive ball. So to me, I look at them and I say, the East is really tough. The first round is going to be tough for all eight teams. And Toronto is going to be a very good underdog in that first round.
I think no matter what happens with the Cavaliers or the Raptors, both teams should feel really good about what they did, because just everything you're saying about Toronto is everything that we were talking about Cleveland before they were dealing with all these injuries. Is okay, you found something that works for you. Awesome. And you're winning games that way. I didn't mention Scotty Barnes. And what was interesting to me about this game, it was Scotty Barnes versus Evan Mobley, right? And Evan Mobley is going to win Rookie of the Year. It's going to be him or Cade Cunningham. And I think Mobley's going to end up getting it just because of how impressive he was for the beginning of the year. And that matters because Cade Cunningham got out to a slow start. So I think Mobley should win it. Scotty Barnes might end up being the better rookie or better player. And it wouldn't shock. I'm watching him, and you know, he had 11 points and all this. And it was a fine night. It wasn't Scotty Barnes' best game from his rookie year, but you just watch him, man. And his feel for the game is such a high level. His passing is in transition is just so instinctual and so awesome. We already know about the defensive stuff, guards all five positions. He's closing out. He's seeing things happen before you see them. He doesn't play like a rookie. And I was trying to think of, like, what's the best comparison, like, for Scotty Barnes? And I thought, like, I like that you made the Boston comparison. I was like, is he Jason Tatum? He's not really. Is he Jalen Brown? No, I actually think his feel for the game is better than Jalen Brown's.
For sure.
Is he what we thought Ben Simmons would be?
They're different. Like, Ben Simmons is almost in a lot of ways more dominant at certain skills, like fewer but certain skills. What's cool about about Barnes, he's just so well-rounded. Like, he does so many things at a high level. He sees, he thinks the game at a high level. I mean, as you mentioned, his stat line tonight is, you know, being underwhelming a little bit. It's both underwhelming but impressive because you have 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. That's just a little bit of everything. So, and that's kind of what he is. So to me, he's a basketball player. He can do a lot. And as the league moves more and more towards positionless basketball, he reminds me of the type of guys that you find on the Celtics, that you find on the Suns, that you find on the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, he is a championship caliber piece. Even if he's not a star or if he doesn't become a star, although I think he will be a star in some capacity.
I think he's like Draymond Green with a higher scoring ceiling. You know what I mean?
It's so hard. Whenever you compare somebody to like the greatest of their generation, he's the greatest.
He's the closest thing I've seen to Draymond, though. He's the closest thing I've seen to Draymond.
He's really
of good. All the soon to be Draymond Greens, of all the semi Ojeles.
Right.
Scottie Barnes is much closer.
The Semi Ojele Draymond Green scale. He's closer to Draymond. Okay.
That's good. Well said. Let's go to New Orleans. Devontae Graham hit 5 three-pointers on his way to a season high 30 points. CJ McCollum scored 25, and the Pelicans beat the Bulls 126-109. Zach LaVine scored 39 points and had a monster dunk while DeMar DeRozan rested with an injury. But the Bulls lost for the fifth time in six games. They are now have just a one-game lead over the Raptors and the Cavs for that fifth seed. They could slide. Things are getting tight between 5 and 7 in the East.
Oh, so very, very tight. And unfortunately, the Bulls, the East is sad, man. Like, we're talking about all these teams that have had great runs. The Bulls are one of them. The Cavs that we just talked about. But the Bulls were right there, the two seed. And then in the blink of an eye, here they are all the way down. They, too, could fall into the play. And only one game ahead of Cleveland and Toronto. So they're another team that, you know, after all of the great things that have gone on for them, DeMar DeRozan's renaissance, all of this stuff, they might just find themselves in the worst possible spot. But the guy I want to talk about here, and I don't know, you know, my guy Herb Jones, I got to give him a shout out, but only 2 steals tonight. So I guess we won't say too much, only 7 points, but there's a new guy in town for New Orleans that has captured the hearts and minds of young Pelicans fans. And that's Jose Alvarado. But I have to ask you, Wes, this guy has starting to make a name for himself. He's a hustler. Yeah. You know, he shoots, he just plays with spirit, with, I don't know, gumption. I don't know, all these like cheesy words you use to describe this type of player. But tonight, he's got this habit of hiding in the crowd. Have you seen this? Where he hides in the shadows in the baseline and then sneaks out and steals the ball. He did it again tonight.
To Caruso.
Yeah.
Yep. It was great. Did it to Caruso. And then Caruso was like, where did this guy come from? And then he takes one extra step, gets called for a travel. I have never seen anybody in the history of this league, as long as I've covered it, celebrate an opponent getting called for a travel with the amount of intensity that Jose Alvarado did.
I'm trying to think of his name. It was Marcelo Huertas. I remember him doing this one time. He was playing with the Lakers, and he hid behind a ref, and he actually literally hunched and crouched behind the referee and then ran out to steal the ball. Here's my thing. Everybody loved it. You love this from Jose Alvarado tonight. I'm going to be the ultimate grouch. I hate it. I hate this try-hard BS hiding in the stands and then coming out for the steal. It's so corny to me. This is total Duke March Madness slapping the floor BS. Jose Alvarado, he's out the club. Herb Jones is still my guy.
Locked on Herb Jones, always, every Friday. Finally, in Milwaukee, no Giannis, no Middleton, no problem for the Bucks. They beat the Wizards 114-102. Drew Holiday, 24 points, 10 assists. Grayson Allen adds 21 in a game that the Bucks never trailed. Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer is hopeful that Middleton can return from a sore left wrist in time for this weekend's game in Memphis, although he did seem a little bit more unsure and cautious about when Giannis might return from a sore right knee, but it doesn't sound like there's anything serious to worry about as they ramp up and get prepared for the playoffs. Coming up, how often have you said, who the heck is that guy, while watching an NBA game this season? We rank the best of that bunch next.
We changed our mind, Wes.
Ah, crap, I forgot.
We have a different power ranking. We have to just reveal it on the other side.
That's what is it? Top questions?
I got 5 questions for the end of the season.
How often have you said, what the heck are we doing next segment? That's coming up next on Locked On NBA. Today's episode is brought to you by NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot is the officially licensed NFT of the NBA. Connect with a community of hundreds of thousands of NBA fans as a natural progression of fantasy sports, a way to upgrade your experience as an NBA fan. This is the future of what being an NBA fan looks like. It's part trading cards. Every moment on Top Shot originates in a pack. Unlike trading cards, these aren't still images on cardboard. These are officially licensed NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. Akin to the stock market for the NBA, every day, millions of dollars worth of NFTs are traded back and forth between tens of thousands of NBA fans around the world with full transparency, which is really cool. So you get to watch all of this stuff happen right in front of you. It's just constant engagement with this thing. It's a fun way to spend your time. Investors include Michael Jordan and Kevin Durant, not to mention Will Smith. There are also tons of NBA players in the community. Tyrese Halliburton, Cole Anthony, Harrison Barnes, for example. I know that they're on this stuff all the time. If you sign up for Top Shot today, the best way to start is by getting yourself a starter pack. You could pull an NFT of a superstar like LeBron or KD or star rookies like Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley or Scottie Barnes for $9. And if you didn't pull your favorite player from the starter pack, you could snag moments from the marketplace that appeal to you. So if there's a highlight that you're just desperate to have, go to the marketplace, see what the price is, pay for it. It's that simple. Challenges are the best way to earn exclusive moment NFT rewards. Complete challenges to unlock exclusive moment NFTs. You could treat Top Shot like the best of daily fantasy sports. Top Shot's moments can get you access to events and can be used in fantasy minigames on a regular basis. NBA Top Shot is the future of being an NBA fan. Own officially licensed rare NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. Sign up today at lockedon.nbatopshot.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is truly a standout among protein bars with its exceptional nutritional profile and so many delicious flavors. Built Bar is the favorite protein bar of many discerning fitness trainers and fitness enthusiasts alike. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, taste better than your current protein bar, and are perfect for an after-workout snack or some needed energy in the middle of a busy day. Built Bars are low in calorie and carbs, high in fiber, and packed with protein. Check out these macros. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to most protein bars, and Built Bars are a clear winner. Plus, Built Bars come in great flavors such as mint brownie, raspberry, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and more. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. And have you tried Built Bar Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of their best-tasting products. Puffs are the first-ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. They come in churro, coconut marshmallow, and banana cream pie flavors. So here's our offer. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off on your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Okay, it's Friday, so that means we're counting down to the weekend, and today we are ranking the top five storylines remaining for this season. The top five questions that we have over the final 9 or 10 games of the regular season. What do we got, Adam?
Well, number five, I have to get this out of the way because it's, even though it's not my favorite one, it still has a compelling sort of angle to it. And that is, of course, who is going to end up winning the MVP. We sit here and Wes, we've been talking about this. Not when I say we, I don't mean you and I. I mean the entirety of the earth has been talking about the MVP race since October, whenever games started. But here's what's funny. Jokic, Giannis, Embiid. I just feel like it's going to be one of those three guys. I mean, it's all but been narrowed down there. Here's the thing. Jokic, who's sort of taken maybe a late lead here, is now real in serious danger of falling into the seventh seed along with the Denver Nuggets. Joel Embiid, there's a chance he's kind of lost some momentum lately, especially with the 76ers slipping and some high-profile humiliating losses. They're still within striking distance of being the one seed. That would be a pretty statement thing, and I think he would win it. And then you have Giannis, who even though he's been sort of the third leg on this race, the Bucks could very well be the number one seed, and he's having his best individual season statistically, so it could be him. So I feel like with only 8 games to go, this question will probably flip meaningfully in those 8 games.
The Bucks right now are just a game behind Miami.
That's crazy.
That number one seed. Yeah, and when you consider all that they've dealt with, the Bucks, with all the injuries, Brooke Lopez just now coming back, you know, Middleton missing time, all this stuff, it wouldn't shock me if Giannis won. And by the way, all three of those guys, probably the runaway MVPs in most seasons. It's just so happening that all three of them are having historically great seasons by all the PER stuff and just the raw stats and everything for good teams all at the same time. I don't know. I also know that the season's not over. You know, we don't have to make up our mind now. And that's what's so interesting about these next, you know, handful of games is that they could one, you know, 50-20 night from Jokic or Embiid or Giannis or whatever, which it sounds like a crazy stat line, but it feels like we've seen a few of those already. Like that could win. That could be enough, right? Like one big night could be enough to just put you over the top because it's that close right now.
It's meaningful that Giannis is out with the knee injury. It's meaningful that Joel Embiid has actually taken some bumps and bruises lately as well. I know he had a sore back the other night. And then tonight, Jokic actually, he shot 9 of 10 from the field. got a wrist injury and just stopped taking shots tonight. So it'll be interesting to see, with every game mattering so much, if Jokic does have that right wrist, his shooting wrist, if it is giving him problems, that could affect not just his chances at the MVP, but the Nuggets' chances at the playoffs.
Yeah. What's next?
Number four, another awards one, the scoring title. The scoring title is still very much up for grabs. We, on this very show, broke the news that, I guess we didn't break it. We gave the opinion that it's become very popular recently that LeBron James is gunning for that scoring title to set it at age 30. Is he 37? I think he is 37. He's at 30 points. Joel Embiid right behind him. Giannis right behind him. Kevin Durant right behind him. All of those guys between 29.7 and 30 points per game. I honestly believe, you look around at these last few games, all of those guys are within just a couple points of one big game, one 50-point game from taking the lead here. I think we're going to see these guys gunning for it down the stretch. I think we're going to see some 50-point games from Kevin Durant, from LeBron James, maybe even from Giannis and Joel Embiid. And I'm just excited to watch it, because I think we'll enter that last night of the NBA season with all of those guys being aware exactly how many points they need to take the lead.
I mean, if Embiid or Giannis end up with the scoring title, they could also end up with the MVP, right? Because it could just take that huge performance to kind of give them the edge, like we were just talking about. I'm kind of rooting for LeBron to get it. I just want to watch. I don't know why. I guess I just want to watch history. Like, it would just be crazy at 37 years old for him to get it. You left out one name. It's Kyrie Irving at number five, 28.5 points. I don't think he would qualify from a games played standpoint. I'm not really sure how the scoring title work. But he shouldn't be, whatever the rules are, they should be. I know that we just changed rules in New York so that Kyrie Irving can play. We need to change rules in the NBA so that Kyrie Irving is not allowed to get the scoring title. Like, that would be ridiculous.
You're probably right about that, because he only has 20 games. So I'm actually okay eliminating him. I do think you got to play at least half of them. I think Kevin Durant, number might be 60, and Kevin Durant's only at 46. So he too might be eliminated, which is a shame, because it would be fun going into that final day and seeing Kevin Durant and LeBron James both kind of knowing that each other are going to be going for a big point total.
Who do you think gets it?
I think it's going to be LeBron. And it brings me no joy to say this. LeBron plays the Denver Nuggets twice over the last four games. And I have a feeling that he's going to look at those games and be like, no rim protector, nobody on the perimeter to guard me.
Yep.
I got it. Sorry, Bones.
I'm taking Bones on a switch every time.
Sorry, Bones.
Yeah.
All right. Next storyline. These next three are really good. Number three, who will be rusty? Who will be rusty? So Steph Curry is out. He's expected to return maybe before the playoffs, maybe not. But either way, what is the ramp-up period for Steph Curry after he misses 4 weeks? That's a real question. Kyrie Irving now being cleared, it looks like he's going to be able to play all games. He has played only 20 games so far. Is he ready to play every night, back-to-backs, every other night? Is he ready for that load? Chris Paul just came back. What's he going to look like? Ja Morant now might be out and then have to reintegrate. And then you mentioned it earlier, but OG Anunoby. And then there's a whole host of other players. We'll get to, you know, the guys that might not be coming back. But even if an Anthony Davis comes back, or a Jamal Murray, or any of the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, whatever, any of those guys, the question's going to be, what do you get from him? We have no idea what to expect, even from Steph Curry, let alone a Paul George.
Right. I mean, Steph, he's out with an injury, but not just any injury. He's out with an ankle one, and we know his history with that too. And it's not like he's having a great season. He could be first team all NBA, but it's not Steph's best season either. So you wonder if there's like a little bit of slippage that's involved there. An injury certainly wouldn't help. The Ja Morant stuff, I mean, he came back from that last injury and he looked fine, but that doesn't guarantee anything, you know, coming back either. And so a lot of these injuries you're talking about too, like, these are huge names. Like, there are massive ramifications, and the West and the East, like these playoffs are so loaded that if you're just rusty for a game or two, that could cost you a series and then you're out. Right. So
there's no question about it. The rust factor is just going to be so big. I mean, this playoffs is so hard to predict. It leads me honestly to number two, which is number two question for me is, who has momentum? I think this question has two definitive answers and a whole bunch of question marks. The definitive answers, the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
I don't know if you've noticed, they're going on the road, a little road tour right now, just going through the NBA, demolishing teams by 20 points on their gym, on their arena. They are clearly ready for the playoffs to begin. They have all the momentum. They're probably the hottest team in the Eastern Conference and maybe the most dangerous team. And then, of course, the Phoenix Suns, who they're not even necessarily on a heater by their own standards. They're on a 2-year heater. So they are clearly going in with momentum. But then you look at it like, does Milwaukee have momentum? They've won some games, but they don't have Giannis. They don't have Middleton. You know, is Brooklyn like carrying momentum now because Kyrie is going to be cleared to play? I don't know. Does Memphis have momentum without Ja Morant? Does Dallas have? I mean, it's just hard. Who's going to have that momentum? And is every team going to be entering, or other than those two I mentioned, Phoenix and Boston, is everybody else going to be entering with major question marks?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, and you look at just what Phoenix has done. They've won now 7 games in a row, and then they just got Chris Paul back tonight and beat a good Denver team in Denver. Like, that's just wind in their sails. And it's weird to think about them with momentum because you're right. It's been like 2 years. This is like this is like the Beatles going from like Revolver to Sergeant Pepper's, right? It's just like,
love it.
You know,
well done.
And I guess Boston would just sort of be, you know what? I'm not gonna ruin my own metaphor there, but Boston is just sort of at the beginning of their little momentum stretch here, but it's real, right? Like, nobody wants to play the Celtics. I think if you polled every team in the East, hey, so is there one team that you want to avoid outside of like Brooklyn in the first round, which every broadcast is contractually obligated to mention that you don't want to see Brooklyn in the first round? Right. The answer would be Boston, right? Like, that team knows, like you said it earlier, they figured themselves out. They have a great identity. Jason Tatum is just completely figured it out. Tatum's got this like habit now over the last couple of years of just taking it up a notch and making like a leap late in every season, just in time for the playoffs. So, I think I'm with you. Phoenix and Boston, the teams at the high, doesn't mean they're going to get to the finals. It just means that they're buzzsaws right now.
And conversely, like Miami Heat, do they have momentum? Does Utah, does Golden State, like some of these teams that we kind of expected to be figuring it out haven't, and seem to be at least with a little bit of tension, and you know, that could flip things. And we're talking about the Miami Heat as the one seed. Are they a vulnerable one seed? They might be.
I mean, they're breaking out in fights on their own bench right now. that screams vulnerability to me.
Definitely does. And then number one, you know what this one is. Everybody knows what it is. Who will come back? Who will come back? Here are players that may or may not come back by the playoffs. Anthony Davis, Jamal Murray, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Michael Porter Jr., Zion Williamson, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons. The list just goes on and on of all these players that I just mentioned, guys that could be all-stars. Every single one of them could be an all-star, and they're all question marks about will they or won't they be back in time. And how do you predict? Think about how different the playoffs would be if just half of those guys made their way back. I know some of these guys are less likely. Zion Williamson doesn't exactly have a ton of momentum, although he did do a through the legs off the backboard dunk that made it look like he was healthy enough to play. But all of those guys, just one or two of them could, Paul George single-handedly could flip the way the play-in goes, or Jamal Murray or any of these. So it's the number one question. We're only 8 games away, and I have no idea who's going to be healthy to play in those.
It would be the craziest thing in a crazy year if Paul George and Kawhi just came back for the Clippers in the playoffs and they just became like, they're solid. Like, they've been around 500 all year long. Ty Lue's an awesome coach. You throw Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in that mix, and then boom, you've got a team that could do some crazy stuff. And they probably wouldn't win the West based on
Other
question, rustiness, but maybe, I don't know. Yeah. It would be in what has been such a crazy year, would be like the most bananas thing that would happen, but you know, why not? We're already here.
Why not? I mean, they're just so talented, and obviously they have a style. Norman Powell too, by the way, might be back for the playoffs. So I know he's not a superstar, but it's still an impact player. So yeah, it's the number one. I can't ever remember a situation like this, Wes, where we are 2.5-3 weeks away from the playoffs and the play-in beginning, and I'm sitting here thinking there's 12 all-star caliber players that we just don't know yet, definitively in, definitively out. And then you add the Steph Currys to the list and players like that who we know will be back, and just what kind of status will they have? Ja Morant. This playoffs is just so unpredictable. I'm excited for it. I think that we're going to learn in the first 2 or 3 games of the playoffs. We'll probably learn who the real teams are. But right now, outside of Boston and Phoenix, I there's nobody else I can say is real or fake.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm really confident in Milwaukee, despite the injuries that they're dealing with. That might be it. I don't know. I really don't know, like, what to make of Philly and Brooklyn. Like, a lot of this stuff is very much like shoulda, woulda, coulda, theoretical kind of, if this happens and all of it clicks together. Those are the three teams that I'm most confident in. I would have put the Heat in there if not for this last week. Maybe I'm not confident enough in the team that I cover, but they could pretty much. I think they could turn the corner pretty quickly. So they're just like right outside that confidence tier for me right now, but could easily get back in it. But that's not a lot. And like you said, who comes back? That could change everything. Might not matter.
Totally true. Should be interesting.
It'll be interesting. That's a wrap for us. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On NBA wherever you listen to podcasts. 30 minutes of the NBA's top stories every day. You could find me over at Locked On Heat and Adam over on Locked On Nuggets. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen. Have a great weekend, everybody.